What has happened to a nation that used to fear the Lord? To a people whose foundation was built upon God's word? We've allowed this world's opinion to chart a different way. But it's time the Church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say, God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's word will stand. They can take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools, teach our children that we're animals, speak against the golden rule, try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye. But they're never overcome God's word, no matter how they try. God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's word will stand. It is forever settled, to evermore endure. It's the only way a sinner's heart could ever be made pure. God's word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's word will stand. God's word will stand. God's word will stand.
It's a good message, wasn't it, right there in that song? Thank you, young men. And thank you, Mrs. Lockwood, for playing for these guys. Appreciate it. A talented group. And they probably get all their talent from their dad, right? It's the way it is in my family, brother. I understand. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 16, would you, this morning? Luke chapter 16. All right, am I on now? Luke chapter 16 this morning. We're going to read verses 19 through 31. Most of you know where I'm going to be reading from. I'm going to take a little different slant on it, basically the same, though, from the passages. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. If you're able this morning, please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, all the way through the end of the chapter. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he, that's the rich man, said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The message this morning is the rich man, he's concerned a little bit too late. Just concern, is our concern right this morning? The rich man's concern was a little late. Father, I pray you'd bless us and help us now. Use the preaching of the Word of God to help us today. Not discourage, but encourage. Help it to go out, and if there's somebody that needs Jesus Christ and their concern needs to be saved so they don't have to go to this place that the rich man went, I pray they'd settle it today. Make this be the day. Now, Lord, I pray for your power for this hour. Fill me. I pray those listening to me on internet and in this room would ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because then they'll get what they need this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. This is not a parable. A lot of people think, well, this is a parable, but no parables have people's real names in them. You've got Lazarus and you've got Abraham. A parable is a comparison of two objects for the purpose of teaching, like in Proverbs, and it's to teach something. This Jesus was trying to get across to us, as I believe this morning, is the concern we should have for this place called hell. It is a real place. I know we use it and we hear it used so often through our society, and people just spit it out like common vocabulary nowadays, but it is a real place. This man, this rich man, and let me say this before I go any farther. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich and he fared sumptuously. He went to hell because he rejected accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior to pay for his sin, so the rich man didn't have to pay for his sin. He did not do that. Lazarus went to heaven not because he was poor, not because he suffered in this life and was full of sores. He went to heaven because he trusted the Savior and what Jesus did for him. That's what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, matter of fact, some people will say, you know, and I'll be honest with you, it's what God directed me to preach on. It's not my favorite subject to preach on, but God just laid on my heart about this concern we need to have, and we need to look at our lives and the lives of others so that we'll have the proper concern in our lives. A lot of people say, you know, that hell is just a state of mind, but that's not what this said. It's a literal place. It's not some kind of mystical thing. Most preachers don't even preach on the subject anymore, to be honest with you. Here at our church, we do. And this is what we're preaching on this morning. But from the sight and slight of being our concern, a lot of people say, why would God, a loving God, create a place called hell? Let me show you something. Hold your finger where you are. Turn to Matthew, would you, chapter 25. I saw this years ago. It's an amazing statement. I want you to see here Jesus explaining the last days, separating the goat from the sheep, the lost from the saved, at the judgment seat of Christ and so forth. Look at a statement that Jesus said in verse 41 of chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Now watch this. Unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not create hell for man. He created it for those angels that rebelled against him in heaven. See, they were eternal beings. Angels are eternal beings, just like we were created with eternal soul. How did man then get to hell? Because man, you and I, decided to sin. If we never sinned, then we'd get to go to eternal life. But because we sinned, we have to pay the penalty for our sin. That is what hell is. It's a payment for our sin. Eternal life in a place called hell. See, the rich man did not go to hell because of his lifestyle. He went to hell because he didn't trust Jesus to save him. I want to look at some reasons why this morning we need to have a concern about hell. First of all, we need to have a concern for ourselves, whether or not we're going there, and then a concern about others around us. First reason to have concern this morning, it's a place where you continue to live. It's a place where you continue to live. You're in Matthew chapter 26 there. Look at Matthew chapter 25, Look at verse 46. It's a place where you continue to live, hell is. And these shall go away into, what's the next word? Everlasting punishment. But the righteous, those that have their sins forgiven, unto life, what's the next word? See, every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, have an eternal soul. We were born with that. And we will live forever somewhere. So many people think, oh, I die. And you've heard them say it before. You know, you ask somebody, if you die today, do you know you'll go to heaven? They say, nah, I'm going to go 6 feet under. Their body maybe go 6 feet under, but their soul will continue to live. It'll separate from the body and it will continue to live somewhere. Men and women are born with an eternal soul that will live forever, even though the flesh dies. Can I make this statement on this point? It's eternal damnation, not annihilation. We're not annihilated. We're not done away with there in hell. Hell is a continual living in a place called hell. We will live forever. Second reason, it's a place of torments why we need to be concerned. I'll never forget starting a church in Red Bluff many years ago. We started a soul winning meeting. Some two young men came out. We sent them out two by two, him and his brother. And then after the soul winning meeting, they came back to our house. We meet, want to talk, see how things went. And I'll never forget. I won't tell you their names. they're still here in our community. But they told me about a lady that they knocked on her door. And they said, which I taught them to say, which when you go knock on a door, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? What a good thought. Are you 100% sure? Well, I think so. My friend, you don't want to think so with the place that we're talking about here. You want to know so. How can anybody know? The Bible says we can know. And you can know because God promises to save you if you ask Him to save you. They said to this woman, if you die today, do you know that you'll go to heaven? She said, and this was her response. They told me what her response was. She said, I'll go to heaven because I've suffered so much here in this life. A lot of people think that. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, suffering here in this life is a kindergarten class compared to the college class of the torments of hell. Can I say that? You saw in our text, and I'd like for you to go back there to Luke chapter 16, if you would. Look at verse 23, Luke 16, 23. We read it, but I want to show you the wording. Chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell, that's the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Look at verse 24, would you? Look at verse 24, the end of the verse. And he said that Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Look at verse 28, if you would. For I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torments. Ladies and gentlemen, the torments of hell are unbearable, but you never die. You're not annihilated. You continue to live in a place of hell because it's torments there. What kind of torments? Well, hold your finger there. Luke 16, turn over to Matthew 22. If you'd like, I'll read it to you. But if you'd like to turn, a lot of people are turners. They want to turn. That's good. I hope you turn. And this right here, I want you to see something. Look at the second part of verse 13. Look at the second part. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a darkness in hell, even though there's flame. Explain that to me. Flame has light, at least what we know. But there is a place in hell that's total darkness. I don't know if you've ever been. Spelunkers. You know what spelunkers are? Those are cave people that go in, not cave. Okay, you got it. They explore caves. They say one of the most creepiest, eerie thing is get in there, and once they get in there, turn their lights off. And your eyes, even though they'll adjust, if it's outer darkness, if it's that kind of darkness, you still can't see a thing. That's spooky. How many are afraid of dark? Ask your kids. I guarantee you there are a lot of them right there. There's another darkness. Look at Mark chapter 9. How about Mark chapter 9? Matthew, Mark chapter 9. It's also a place where the fire there is never put out. Look at Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 43. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand, Jesus was saying, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell unto the fire that never shall be quenched. I don't know if you've ever been burned or not. Most every one of us has picked up a cooking utensil or something that burnt. That is a great pain. Well, in hell, you're constantly burned. but never burned up. Also look at verse 44 here. This is amazing. Look at verse 44. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It repeats about the fire. Look at verse 46. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And be honest with you, I'm not sure what the worm means, but I kind of looked it up and I studied it. And it means, I think, to the best, I've always been told this, and I think it is, it's a place where you'll suffer the miseries that you suffered here on earth. It never goes away. Just as worms eat decaying body parts, that's the way the memory in hell is. You're constantly thinking. I think one of the most horrible things you'll think about is the time somebody tried to get you saved. Somebody tried to tell you about Jesus. They tried to get you to accept Christ, and you're constantly going over in your mind, well, I should have done it, but the concern is just a little bit late, like this rich man. There's a place in Revelation 19:20 where it talks about hell being a place of brimstone. Brimstone is what we think about or know about in our modern society as sulfur. I tell you how you know, and you don't smell this, but remember when catalytic converters first came out, and sometimes they would burp? And do you know what I'm talking about? How many remember when that would happen? Look at too many young people in here. Oh, and that's the smell of sulfur. Yeah. Older people know, you get in the car, it's horrible. And that's what will be in hell too. There won't be anything that will be joy or light. That's why there's darkness. Because God and Jesus are not there. There is no light. I think the greatest torment of all would run into Satan himself in the place called hell. Revelation 20:10 says that the light of heaven, we don't need the sun anymore because Jesus is the light thereof. Listen to me. Reason to be concerned about hell, it's a place of torments. Another reason there. Luke 16 again. Go back if you would. Flip back over there. Look at verse 26. This is Lazarus speaking. And besides all this, verse 26, Luke 16, besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence, from where we are, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, where you are, rich man, that would come from thence. Once you get there, there's no more leaving there. I know what religions say, and they have penance that you can do and indulgences that you can pay, and what you can do is buy your loved ones or yourself out of hell. But my friend, that's not in the Bible. But what we just read is in the Bible, and it says once you're there, you're not getting out of there. Concerned just a little bit too late, rich man. It doesn't matter what religion says. There is no intermediate stop. There is no way to get out of it. I don't care how much money it is. You are not getting out of that place called hell. Can I give you another reason? It's a place that if you're there, you don't want any other people to be there. Look there in Luke, if you would, in verse 27. Then he said, I pray, I ask thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him unto my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Ladies and gentlemen, once they're there, there's no getting out of there. It's a place you just can't get away. And when you go there, then all of a sudden, I know what they say, and you've met people, and I've met people just like it. You're going to go to heaven when you die? Ah, no, I'm going to the other place because all my buddies are there. All my friends are there. Well, according to this scripture right here, ladies and gentlemen, that will not be the concern at that time. That won't be the response. This man was in hell. He knew there was nothing he could do about it because he was told for in verse 26. And then he says, since I'm stuck, I don't want my brothers to go there. See, but the trouble is, he's just concerned a little bit too late, this rich man. About our loved ones, our friends, our family members. Are we just letting them go and go to a place like this? Or do we have concern for them? It's a place, can I say this? Another reason. It's a place that God does not want you to go to. God does not want anyone to go to hell. As I showed you, he didn't create it for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. And God does not want any of us to go to that place. You know it. You don't even need to turn there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. See, God doesn't want anybody to go there. God himself came to earth and died, was born of a virgin, died on a rugged cross because he never sinned so he could pay the penalty of my sin so that I could go to heaven. On this one hand, Mark Evans, if you put the list of his sins, they would go from this ground, probably make it to the moon. That's not funny. But it is a pretty good, that's a little over exaggeration, but it's a pretty long list. Man, I really don't deserve heaven because I've got this list of sins. But God came in the form of human to this earth. God himself came as Jesus the Christ. He lived, was tempted like you and I are tempted every day. And yet he never sinned so that he could go to a cross and pay for your sin and my sin. See, my list is humongous. But my Savior's list is nil, nothing, zilch, zero. That's why God doesn't want us to go to heaven. He wants us to trust him to get us to heaven so that he'll pay for my list, which he did some 2,000 years ago. My friend, do we have that kind of concern in our life? Is that where we have and what we have and the way we think and what we do in our life is with a view that the rich man has but has a little bit concern too late? Is our concern waning in our lives, ladies and gentlemen? This place of hell should always be somewhere in the back of our mind, understanding that I need to have my sins forgiven. And not only that, my loved ones, my family, my friends need also that salvation. Are we concerned? Are we concerned just a little bit too late? Let me make these statements and I'll be done. One day it'll be too late to be concerned. Everyone in this room, just like this rich man, it'll be too late to be concerned. See, he was concerned, but it was too late. And one of these days, and I don't know when, but God does on his calendar, has a date when you will die and you will face him. Either you're going to face him as a saved man with your sins forgiven. That's why a sinner can stand before an almighty God, because I have no sins on my account. Jesus paid them all. That's the only reason I'll be able to stand before God. See, and that date is coming to every one of us. I hope none of you young people, I hope you live full lives. I hope you live to, 75. I hope that is even too far. But one day it's going to be too late to be concerned. Can I make another statement about this? You will wish you had asked and been concerned about people's destiny. Revelation 20:11. You don't need to turn there. Let me make this statement. This is when people are being, says, cast into hell. Notice the word. They were cast. They had to be taken. Nobody at that judgment seat of Christ is willingly going to go. It says they were cast. I imagine many, as we sit there and we observe this, Christians will all already have gone through the judgment seat of Christ, where our lives will be judged based on what we did, good and bad, in our bodies. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, the great host of heaven, that includes us that are saved, will see this great white throne of judgment. And there we'll see people bound and thrown into an everlasting fire. And I guarantee you, they're not going to be going willingly. They're going to be screaming. They'd probably look up and say, "There's Mark Evans. He didn't tell me about Jesus. I knew him." Oh, I don't look forward to that day. Can I say, make this statement and I'll be done? Soul winning is a natural release of what is in us, saved people. We've got a great truth and we've got a great salvation. The natural thing is for a Christian is to give that to other people. Ladies and gentlemen, this rich man, oh man, he had everything. But he just was concerned a little bit too late. How is our concern this morning? Well, I'll get around to telling. No. We need to make sure anybody in our sphere of life knows that there is a place called hell. And it's real, and they can be saved from that place called hell. How's your concern this morning? How's your soul this morning? I think today, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, I think today is a good day to let someone take the Bible separate of this room and show you what you need to do to trust Jesus that died for your sins. Get it settled today. Because one day you will be concerned whether you're saved or not. You'll be concerned too, just like this rich man. And if we're already saved this morning, I mean, you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt. And if you don't know that, let us help you. We one day will be concerned too, but it will be too late then for those other loved ones, friends, and families. How's our concern?